You're the big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job. But I don't like your attitude.
Hey there, listeners. Paul here. It's time again for your weekly installment of the Leadership in Tech podcast series. I'd like to take this time to remind everyone that we upload an episode every Tuesday, and you can find our old episodes, show notes, and more at www.techonramp.com. We can be found on both Facebook and Twitter, and both are at TechOnRamp. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Now tell me, who do you think you are? Besides a person who happens to be in charge.
Plans are for people who expect to fail. They expect to fail.
By the way, your story of how it used to be, it'd be the 40-page document, and everybody signs off on this is the plan, and it was really nothing more than everybody signing off to fail because the plan went off the rails.
The plan would be off the rail 1 hour after everybody left the meeting.
I love that. So we're going to break down, again, a military acronym that is applicable to your daily life, okay? And it's the acronym is SMACC, S-M-A-C-C.
Wait, there's no K?
You can, you know.
Wait, S-M-A-C-C.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've been wrong you've about been, this for like 2 weeks.
You've been like, wow, that K, I can't figure out.
I couldn't figure out what it was.
I was like, it's silent.
Maybe that's why it hasn't quite made sense to me yet.
So the acronym stands for Situation, Mission, Actions, Command and Control.
So is this somehow related to planning?
This is all related to planning, okay? And literally from, you know, I don't want to be so bold to say, you know, minute to minute, you could be doing this in your life, but you could, right? Because you're walking down the street and you've got something in front of you and you see it, you've soaked it all in, and then you make a left turn of the corner. That's a whole new situation you're dealing with.
And so to bring this back, the reason we're talking about this is I've telling you that I've sort of learned a lot from you about how to plan, mm-hmm. and I've sort of realized the importance of planning, even though I still joke with you that plans are for people right. who expect to fail. And so I'm working on my planning, but I described to you that I forget to plan.
Right.
Like I go through my day and it's 4 o'clock and I'm sort of, you know, had a busy day and it's like, man, I forgot I did that 1 o'clock meeting and I never had a plan for that.
Right.
Because I just forget that I'm supposed to make a plan for like micro things right. in the day level. I think of plans as multi-week, multi-month, multi-year type right. things. And, you know, you've taught me that a plan can, you can have a plan for going out to McDonald's to get lunch,
right?
Right? And I haven't trained myself yet to remember to make a plan before I go to McDonald's and get lunch.
Right. So, you know, it's, so the SMACC process, you know, underneath the greater situation where you have a SMACC, let's just say it's a month long, right? You're going to have a series of SMACCs in the, you know, in between them, little micro SMACCs, if we will. But let's just, I'll give you an example. So one of my clients is a union, okay? And their process of people, they're concerned right now because people are going to be fired and they feel as though the process is too subjective, right? The big bad boss is just can randomly say, well, they're fired. And whether that person deserves to be fired or not, the union is concerned that, you know, that's a problem, right? It's not fair. And that's okay. It doesn't even matter whether you agree or disagree. So I said, all right, well, what's the situation? Well, the situation is we have to save jobs. We have to save
the situation is dire.
The situation is dire, right? And it was really a lot of that language. And I said, that's not the situation. You know, what do you guys want to accomplish? We have to save the jobs. So by your, it's all that matters is saving these 4 jobs. Well, yeah, but it's unfair. Like, so what's the situation? So my point to them was, you can't have any plan until you know and have a grasp on what the big pictures. What's the situation? So I said, the situation, it seems to me, is that there is no process, no fair, objective process to fire somebody, it's all subjective, and that inherently is unfair. Well, right. That's what we said. I said, well, that's not what you said.
No, you said the situation is dire.
Right. You said the situation is dire. We need to save jobs. So, and it took a long time for this group to identify that as the situation. The situation is there's no formal process, no objective process, no wickets to go through before we really crush somebody's life and fire them. Their point was there's got to be something more objective in place. I said, great. That's your situation. There's an unfair system to fire people. What is your mission? What's your goal? We've got to save those jobs. I'm like, no.
Wait, so are we doing M is mission?
So M is mission.
Wait, let me give you an example of situation first. So okay. From the tech world. So this resonates with me because, you know, if you go talk to a developer who's working on a project, you say, what's the situation? Well, we're building a website. No, that's not a situation. That's something that you're doing. What's the situation? We're building a mobile application for Joe.
Right.
That's not a situation.
It's broken. We're fixing it.
What does that even mean?
Right.
So, like, what I find is that in tech, if all you care about is sort of the code that you're writing or the technology that you're working with, and you don't have an understanding of the broader situation, that can be troubling, and there is always a situation. What's right. The situation? I'm trying to help client A achieve this outcome.
Right.
What's the situation? I'm trying to patch the security vulnerability that was identified on that audit.
Or that situation is they have a security vulnerability and they're losing millions of dollars.
Right, and
that's
we gotta fix
the situation.
It.
Right.
There's always a bigger situation right. That has almost nothing to do with technology.
The situation is the client has a security vulnerability and they're losing millions of dollars. That is the situation. What would be the, you know, so let's go back to these guys. So the situation is, you know, what we said, there's a wholly subjective process in firing and, you know, blah, 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 like we just talked about. So what is the mission? The mission is to save their jobs. No, that's not the mission. The mission is to get in place an objective process to evaluate people before they can be fired.
The dramatic way sounds better.
The dramatic way sounds much better. And, you know, we've talked about emotions, you know, here, and we'll do a whole episode on emotions, but that's exactly right. Fueled with emotion. And that gets you nowhere. So, well, right, but we need to save those jobs first. And I said, well, you're going to save the jobs if your mission is to create an objective process of, you know, hoops that somebody needs to go through to be evaluated before they're fired. That's how you save their jobs. And look, and they agreed, we're not saving jobs just to save jobs. If they're no good, then they're no good and they have to go. I said, right. So that's the mission, to get that thing in place. Okay. Well, we need to save their jobs. I said, stop saying that. We get that. I know that. That is not, you know what I mean? Unless you have... That might be a different situation, right?
Don't say that to me again.
Yeah, I mean, but then I did say that to him. I said, fine, maybe we're talking about something else, because if the situation is right now we need to save their jobs, that's different. So that's not going to be going in there with a proposal for a matrix for future, you know, that's going to be different. We're going to go in there and we're going to threaten to sue, you know, whatever it is. Well, no, we can't do that. So, but that's, I digress. So fine. Yeah, the mission is then, right, to have something objective in place. Okay, so how do we do that? What are our actions?
Well, I want to do a mission one.
Okay, go ahead. So your example, right?
I see this all the time. So I'll meet a new client, and we'll agree on the situation. The situation is we want to help warehouses track their inventory.
Okay. The situation is warehouses have no means to track their inventory.
I like that even better.
That's because that is the situation.
Okay. And so the mission, as they define it, will be to build an iPad app that lets the warehouse manager catalog all of their inventory and see it in real time. And so they'll say, Zach, how much would it cost to build an iPad app? And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. What does building an iPad app have to do with addressing the situation of tracking inventory? A Google spreadsheet can track inventory. A piece of paper and a pencil can help them track inventory. Where do we get to the iPad app? well, we think iPad apps will be fun for them. That's not how you make a mission, right? You got to take a step back to solve the core problem of let's help someone, let's help the warehouse track their inventory and not get into this tech world of like, let's build like a whole new entire thing that's going to cost $1 million when there is probably something that will already help them attack their exact situation very directly.
Right. And so let's, so mission and goal are interchangeable, right? So from the military, you know, military language, we say mission, people understand goal. So what is the goal, right? Because once, if you don't have a goal, right, the goal is not, you know, I guess the goal is not to build this app. The app might be one of the actions. Building the app is one of the actions to achieve the goal, right?
The goal is to help track inventory. And so what is the action that you can take that will most directly help fulfill that goal?
That's right. So, you know, and it's, this is not, I was, when I was going through this with this group, I got a little short with them. And I later had to apologize because.
I can't really see you as apologizing.
Well, I did because what I had to say was I was being unfair to them because when they were, you know, they were just at one point saying, well, just tell us what to do. And I said, I won't tell you what to do because my job is not to tell you what to do. My job is to teach you what to do. Well, this process had kind of, we were working on other stuff. So we hadn't formally done this yet. So we were doing it on the fly. And I had to apologize to them and say, you know, guys, I expected too much of you because I've been doing this my entire adult life. You know, this is just what I've done in the military, in the FBI, working operations. It's all about situation, mission, actions, contingencies, command and control.
When like, I never think about that
stuff.
That
is all I think about.
I've never thought of it once.
Right. So I had to step back and say, look, we're going to walk you through the process now. So once we had the mission, okay, of we need a standardized process to fires, an objective process that measurables. What are our actions? Well, I guess we have to build a process of measurables. We have to identify wickets that people need to go through and can be judged objectively. And if they don't make this,
that seems like a lot of work.
That seems like a lot of work. Well, we should just ask them to do that. Oh, man. And then I said, great. That's also not going to happen because it's much easier for the 800-pound gorilla just to say, you're fired. We don't like you. They're not going to go through that process. So if you want it, and that was kind of the other thing that this group had struggled with, lots of things to complain about, lots of things they wanted to accomplish, but no action plan, no ability to put in place an action plan. So inherently what would happen is they'd still be complaining about the same thing for 5 years.
Oh.
And then you realize, okay, wow. So now we're serious about this. We've just identified that if we want this to happen, we have to build this matrix. And that's going to take a lot of work. Well, they're doing it. And it's going to happen. And it's going to be amazing, but only because they put a plan in place. Situation. Identifying what the situation. The situation was not, we have to save these jobs, these four people. No, that's not it. So back to the tech world. So let's walk one out, right? The situation is, A company is losing millions of dollars because they have no way of tracking their inventory in any consistent way, right? That's a situation. So what's the mission behind that? Okay. So a company comes to you and says that, right?
Well, you have to identify the mission. So if they're losing money, presumably you want to stem the tide, right? And so you want to find the simplest solution for them to start tracking their inventory.
Okay.
And so does that mean that you go off and spend more money building a big new thing that may or may not help them track their inventory? Or do you look at exactly what they're doing now and try to find the smallest things that they can do and make actions around that?
So as I see this then, the mission is to identify where exactly they are
bleeding.
Where they're bleeding. Right? So we're not even building anything yet.
We never
build anything. The situation is, what we said, the mission is now to identify where the weak spots are. How do we identify the weak spots? What are the actions now? I don't know. What would you, would be some of the
actions? Usually,
so
I think people like to participate in technology projects. So they are inclined to want to build stuff. And so they'll think that they know the problem and still start proposing solutions. So you have to say, let's stop. Let's send a tech guy onto your site to talk to your people and to walk through your process end to end and evaluate your systems and really do a second or third pass on trying to identify those.
So boom, so that is an action, right? We have identified the situation. The company is losing millions of dollars in inventory because they have no formalized tracking system. The mission is to identify where the weak parts are in their process. The action is to send Zach and Jane and Bill out there to walk through their entire system.
End to end, interview everybody and find out exactly what's leaking and how bad.
So, okay, that makes sense. The command and control. So right now that doesn't really require a lot of contingencies, right? Because that's an action you're going to do, you're going to evaluate.
Is that the next one, contingencies?
Well, actions, you know, like every other acronym, it varies over time. Command and control is really the way I remember being the two C's. Contingencies, in my mind, always come with actions. Don't have an action without a contingency. So, but let's skip that for now, okay? Because we're going to get into this. So follow me. So command and control. Command and control also see roles. So command and control. Who is doing what? Zach, Jane, and Bob are going out there. Zach, you are the leader of that team. You're overall responsible for finding the situation. You delegate to the other two as you see fit. You will communicate back to me on your findings.
You're in the secret bunker?
Yeah, I'm at the secret bunker. And then, you know, you'll do this no later than Thursday. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
Okay? That's a plan. Okay? Is there any confusion about what the situation is, what the mission is, what the actions are, and what the roles are? Command and control and communication.
No. I mean, that's a solid plan, and it's different than maybe the original phone call, which is, Zach, we're bleeding money. Can you build an iPad app to fix it?
Right, because what you're saying is that's what the solution would be sometimes. Somebody says, we're losing money on inventory. Great, we'll build you an app. Well, that's no good. That's not a plan. All right, so now. Let's go. So you take your team out there and you find the problem. We do it again. What is the situation? The situation is that they have, what would a situation be in the tech world that you identify the problem that they have no inventory? Just, you know, make one up off the top of your head. You identified the problem. What is it?
Their Oracle database is broken.
Great.
let's see. Are we staying with the warehouse thing?
Yeah. So you went through, this company is losing money on inventory because they have no system.
Yeah. They don't have a CIO or a CTO or any sort of centralized IT team, and every department in the company has purchased their own technology solutions. Oftentimes, just whatever they thought would solve their immediate problem. And so the company has 6 databases, and none of them talk to each other.
The situation is that the software in place and the databases in place are independent of each other, and they don't talk to each other. Therefore, money gets whatever.
Double and triple entered. So that's the situation. Nobody knows what the real version of the truth is. The
situation is no consistent IT solution. Okay, great. So now we're smacking again. Now we know it. So what's the mission? I don't know. The mission is to find a way to get the in-place softwares to talk to each other. What would a mission be?
Tell them to call Accenture.
Call who? Accenture, right. Yeah. Call Accenture.
Great. Get Accenture there immediately.
let's go through it. So that's the situation. What's the mission now?
Well, that's a big situation.
It's a huge situation.
How big is the company?
Small, you know, reasonable. And again, this doesn't have to be the exact answer. It can be a mission to what would maybe be multiple solutions.
Yeah, so I mean, okay, so.
But really, I'm sitting here, I'm the CEO. You just told me what the issue is. So the situation is, Errol, what we just said, none of your systems talk to each other. Okay, fine, what's the goal then? What do we do, Zach?
There's a lot of ways you could go, but you have to evaluate how much money you want to spend to solve this problem. This could be a case where you need to get a CIO or a CTO in there and take a long-term approach to really realizing that you are now a tech company.
But isn't the goal to get a consistent software solution across the board?
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
It depends. So if you are, depends on how much money you're losing, and do you want to plug leaks because it's not that important, or do you want to invest in the long-term plan and change your entire IT operation?
Okay, well, but ultimately...
So I'd say the next step is to define the goal.
Fair enough.
And it could be anything.
Fair enough. The goal is to define the goal.
I mean, there's companies... I've worked with companies who could care less.
Right.
They have disparate database systems, and they are willing to spend $1,000 a month for the next 20 years to slowly address it. And there's other companies who would literally throw millions of dollars at the problem because they want to invest in the technology of their company. So depending on where that CEO thinks their company needs to be, two totally different plans.
So this is perfect, right? So this just shows you how at every level, when you finish a SMAC process for one, you're down to the next one. So that sounds reasonable. The situation is none of your systems talk to each other. That's why you can't track anything. So now the mission here is to decide what's important for you. The mission is to decide what steps you as a company are willing to take. The actions are, we will discuss your finances. The actions are, we will discuss your commitment. You know, the actions are, we will discuss your infrastructure, your people infrastructure. Okay? So, command and control. I will be in charge of that, CEO. And I will have my team report to these people in your team, okay? And in 1 week, I will come back with a report to you for cost and recommendations on these things. You have just put the situation, the mission, your actions, command and control. Who's in charge of what? What's everybody's role? Who's communicating? Boom. All right. Is that in my
totally.
Tracking, right? So we're not methodically going through. So now, what's next? Your team comes back to you and they say they're willing to spend whatever it takes. They are willing to tear it down and start over. They've got money. They just want the right solution. That's the result of that last SMAC process. So now, situation might still be the same. Situation is you've got no systems that talk to each other. You know now from the last planning process, you have carte blanche. You have a clean slate. This company's got a gazillion dollars, and they're forward thinking. They're ready to do anything to be in the 21st century. So now what's the mission? Situation really hasn't changed. What's the mission?
Wow, that's a big one.
Well?
I mean, I'd have to evaluate if attacking that problem is something... I mean, we're assuming
your company can.
Yeah,
do it.
My company doesn't really do that per se. So we're assuming my company did do that.
Yes.
For the sake of this exercise, right, this is not an easy exercise.
This is right. It's not, okay. But it's an important exercise, right? Because in the beginning of this conversation started. Because
if it was me, I'd be like, let's find you a CIO and I'll help you interview and maybe you give me like a referral bonus. But like that seems like right, someone else's problem.
Right, we're not talking about salt right now. We're actually talking about smack.
Okay,
okay, so.
All right. So now we have to solve all this company's problems.
Right. So, but the mission is to, I would think, go back to now have a process in place where all software talks to each other or one, you know, whatever it would be. So what would be an example of the mission for this?
Well, now you have to go find out. Okay, so so this company has six different departments and they have their six different databases. Now you have to go really understand their personal company goal and if the technology they have can be repurposed towards that goal, or if you have to literally wipe it out and build something from scratch.
The mission is now to evaluate all the softwares in place and see if they can be rebuilt to talk to each other, or they need to be wholly scrapped.
Right.
Great. What are my actions? My actions to do this are very similar, right?
Yeah, you're sending in another.
You're sending out teams to evaluate. Zach, you go evaluate Department A. Jane, you go evaluate Department B, and you all then collaborate with each other and determine who, what can talk to what and what can't. A whole system analysis. Zach, you're in. Whoever's in charge of that, overall in charge of that, you report back to me on this date, and then, like we said, within that. Command, Bob, you're in charge of that department. You take two people. You're in charge of that department. You take two people. You've got your command and control, your communications. You're still not even in the contingency phase yet, right? Because you are not doing anything yet because you're still evaluating.
You're still like fact finding, right?
So boom. So, we can continue to go, but you understand, right? That you are smacking every level of what you're doing.
I understand that, but these examples are very big in a sense.
Okay.
Like we're solving entire companies' problems. Now go the other direction to like, I did not smack this podcast episode.
Okay.
So go to like the micro.
All right. Let's do this, right? Everybody, we're going to just, it's a ridiculous example, but it's not a ridiculous example. The situation is dinner time is coming and there's no food in the house.
Well, that's not ridiculous.
And my kids are going to lose their minds. That's the situation. The mission is to get these maniacs some food on time, on schedule, so they don't lose their minds. My actions are I'm going to go to McDonald's, okay? And I'm going to get them their food, and then we're going to go back and eat. And that's it. Now, this is something now.
But
what are my contingencies?
McDonald's is closed.
McDonald's is closed. They're out of Happy Meals. There's no more burgers. The kids get more crazy when they see McDonald's because they wanted Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. But do you actually think of the SMAC before you're going to McDonald's?
Yes.
Because like, if I think of what I think of, I think, man, it's dinner time. Better get some food. Might as well go to McDonald's.
Yeah, and that's fine because you're almost there. But I'm thinking ahead, right? Because I know inherently there's no food in the house. I know there's not. Okay, but let's.
But do you say S M A?
Yeah. What's the situation? I got to get these. Now it's simple. It's basic. But my mind situation is there's no food in the house, and these guys are going to go crazy. I've got to get them food, right? It's inherent. Well, duh, Errol. Everybody does that. Good. Then you are.
I don't do it.
You're on your way to really. So that's the situation. The mission is to get these kids some food before we get home, okay? Because there's nothing there. And by the time we get home, it's going to be dinner time. And that's when they lose their minds. My actions are I'm going to go to McDonald's, get them Happy Meals. My command and communication is I'm telling the boss, I'm calling my wife, hey, they're getting McDonald's. I know they had it 3 times last week and we said we didn't want it, but we have no choice. I'm communicating to you that we're getting McDonald's. I'm in charge. I'm in control. My contingencies. They lose their minds because they had McDonald's 3 times last week. My answer might be, I don't care. You're getting McDonald's or you don't eat. That's fine, but I'm thinking about it. I'm ready. It might be McDonald's is closed. Great. If McDonald's is closed, I know Burger King's a mile down the road. That'll work. Okay, or there's a supermarket and we'll go in and whatever. I've got my contingencies. McDonald's is the action. My contingencies are those. Okay, and my command and control and communication is I'm just going to keep my wife informed of what's happening because she's going to be really mad that there was no food in the house and why didn't we plan for that anyway, right? So simple, but that's a process.
That you train yourself to do.
Yeah, because let's go through it this way. Now it just hits you. We're in the house and I realize there's no food. Okay? Oh boy. I've got to do something. Right? And instead of just being mad and angry and everybody get in the car and we'll figure it out. Well, if I do this enough, I can go, oh my goodness, the situation is there's no food in the house. There's no real food in the house. The mission is to get these kids some food now. My actions are, let me just do a quick run around. Maybe there's candy. Maybe there's just junk food I can shove in their face very quickly and stem this tide. And then get them in the car to McDonald's. And if McDonald's is closed, my contingencies are. Or if the contingencies, you know what I mean? So I'm working through now, how do I quickly get through this logically and ultimately meet my goal, my mission of getting these kids their dinner in time or something in their mouths before they lose their minds and make me crazy because it's the end of the day and I'm exhausted. Okay? What are my contingencies? Who am I going to command and control? Or one of my actions? Jen, are you coming home? My wife, are you on your way home? Stop and get something. I will do everything I can to stem this tide. You know what I mean? But I'm working through all of my options to quickly do this. Now, again, it seems logical because that's a situation that everybody's been in. So I contend to you, yeah, you do know how to do this. My point is, if you are always doing this, you are quickly going through situations and you are quickly identifying problems and solving those problems effectively and efficiently with the least amount of stress. And if you are always planning about what are contingencies, when there's a contingency that comes up that you haven't planned for, you're so used to dealing with contingencies, now there's a new SMAC process. Okay, so let me go through a military example, right? People tend to be enjoying our military
examples. I enjoy them.
Okay, so we are a SEAL team and we're patrolling to do a reconnaissance on, you know, some building where hostages are held, right? So the situation is there are hostages being held by a terrorist group in this location. The mission, the goal, is to surveil that property and then the actions as the actions go, you know, we won't bore you. So we are on our way patrolling to that area and all of a sudden we encounter enemy, okay? My situation has just changed. I've encountered enemy along the way. Now that would be part of my overall SMAC process as a contingency. What happens if we, right, encounter enemy on the way there? But now I've got to micro that. New situation. Situation is we have an overwhelming force around us and we're getting flanked. The mission is not fight back. The mission is to, it could be fight forward. It could be fight away. It could be mission to hold ground, call in air support. What is my mission in this immediate moment? Right? Situation is we are outnumbered and we are flanked. I've got to define what my goal is. Because if it's, you just got, the guys are going to start hammering away. They're going to start firing back. At me as the leader, that's great. That's a standard operating procedure, right? We're going to stem this threat, but now I've got to decide what the mission is. Mission is to get out of here. Mission is we can fight through this. Mission is call in air support. Maybe a combination of all three. What are my actions? Okay. My actions are to make a call to move to the right. My actions are to send out smoke and move. My actions are to move forward and overwhelm them with our big guns. Okay. My actions are to call in right now. Okay. Call in air support or have the radio man call in air support. What are my contingencies? The radio's down. For some reason, the radio broke. My radio man got shot. He's dead. You know, so, and then now, let's just say now we get out. We call in air support. Okay, and now air support comes in and hits the enemy. I've got a whole new SMAC process. Situation is this. Situation is the enemy is down and we still have time to meet our overall objective. Goal, get back on track to, you know, to patrol to that overall objective. Simple, right? It could be different. We've got, the situation is we've got three men down. Even though the enemy's quelled, there'll be more coming. We've got three men down. I've got to get them and get out of here. The overall mission is aborted, right? So now my new mission is to get out of this area. Okay, my actions to do that are to direct these three guys to get them to call. You know, it goes on and on and on. Everything is a SMAC process.
It's so much more impressive when it's like life or death, military.
Right, and so we've talked about it. Why does it have to be life or death for you to have that mindset? It shouldn't. Because just think about the success you would have.
It doesn't, though, but I think it goes back to sort of training yourself to think of that at all times. I mean, some examples, like the picking up or getting dinner for your kids. Mm-hmm. Sure, I do that every night.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't, I mean, I go through the basic same steps that you're talking about and
right.
end up going to McDonald's and it's all fine. Other examples, like sort of the more grandiose, strategical tech things, I do every day. That's what my job is.
Mm-hmm.
And reminding the tech folks, you know, hey, Joe, what are you working on? What's the situation? I'm building a website, boss. No, that's not the situation. You're trying to make that client, you know, money. You have to realize that distinction. So some of those are sort of natural, but then there's all the sort of stuff in between that maybe falls through the cracks. I had a meeting yesterday with someone very important, and I just sort of kind of winged it. Maybe I got 60% of it. I remembered to ask 60% of the questions I kind of had,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't remember to ask all of them, and so I didn't really make the most out of that meeting.
Right.
And so it's those sort of tweeners that maybe slip through the cracks if you're not thinking about sort of having a plan for every milestone
right.
of your day.
So let's talk about that meeting, right? So the situation is simple, right? I've got a 2 o'clock meeting scheduled tomorrow. And what's the goal, right? The goal is, now we're talking, what is the mission of that meeting? We've talked about this, we've touched on this, right? The whole meeting things. What is the goal of this meeting? The goal of the meeting is, we have a Tuesday
just
meeting
to
every
show
meeting.
Up.
Right, that's not right. The goal of the meeting is not to show up.
I thought the goal was just for me to grace everyone on the phone with my presence.
Right, exactly. So, you know, in that case, the situation is very easy. Well, we've got a scheduled meeting. Well, why? Why do we have a scheduled meeting? Well, we have a scheduled meeting to discuss what it is. Okay, so now the situation is a little different. The situation is there's been a meeting scheduled to discuss the progress of the project or, you know, whatever it is, right? So what's my goal? My goal is to fully outline how we are on schedule and, again, whatever your goal is, but you have a real goal going in there. Now, look, the other people might have a different goal. Okay, well, now they've got something in mind. Now you have to adjust to that. So anyway, let's go back to if you're in control, my goal is to give them the outline, tell them we're on schedule and it's going as good as we thought it would be. What are my contingencies? My contingencies are...
What if Errol starts crying during the meeting?
Yeah, what if he says, I disagree? No, that doesn't sound... That's not what we agreed on, right? Well, that would be ridiculous, Errol. That's never a contingency. Give you a real life example. This group, the union that I'm working with, right? They were going into a meeting with their big bosses and we were doing the smack process. And I said, all right, what are the contingencies? What happens if they say, we never said that? Okay? And my client said, well, they wouldn't.
Of course, because they said it.
Right. He said that I think he said his exact words were, their mouths would never take that shape to utter those words because that would be ridiculous.
The theater of the absurd.
Right. I said, okay, I promise you, this is no exaggeration. That is exactly what happened. It was a cheap lesson for our side to learn because they handled it just fine. And I contend they handled it just fine because somewhere in the back of their mind, they were like, what happens if they do say that? So there's no contingency that's too ridiculous, right? So to your meeting, what's a contingency? I lay out, my mission is to lay out what the status is and tell them how great it's going. And they say, that's not what we agreed on. Well, why would they say that? Well, just... doesn't matter. Just what happens if they do? That's a contingency. It gets you thinking that direction. So you're not blindsided by anything. Give me another contingency. They want to shorten the timeline or else I'm not going to get paid. Whatever it is, but come up with something that would really hurt and you would need to adjust.
Right.
That way, if it's something easy, that's easy. I can handle what you just asked me, even though I didn't plan for it. You know, command and control probably doesn't really, you know, relate to that. That's okay. You don't always have to have a command and control. It's not applicable. You know, I'm going into the meeting. I'm the CEO. I'm reporting to myself. So that's that. So does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. It makes sense. I think the SMAC is a useful acronym that maybe can help you remember or help me remember to do it.
Right.
Right.
And it's the hardest part is identifying the situation, because like you said, a lot of people identify the situation with really just one of the action items.
Yeah, the situation right. is I'm going to Wawa to get like a new get money out of the Mac machine.
Right.
No, that's an action.
That's an action. Right. What's the situation? Right. The situation is I have no money and I know I'm going to need money in 3 hours or tomorrow. So what's my goal? To go get money right now. So I, you know, blah, blah. Simple as that. Now that's again, duh. But the point is people kind of do go through this process and don't realize it on the day to day. What's the reason? Because they do it so often. You said it yourself. Yeah. Well, I do that with my kids all the time. So does everybody. Well, right. Because you do it all the time. You are subconscious. You don't even know you're going through that process, but you do it so often. You can rattle that stuff off now in a minute. Oh my God, there's no diapers left. What do we do? That's a pretty bad one, but you've got that process down in your head because, you know, you've done it before. So now how about in your business life? Make it part of your world. I don't know. You know, I like I said, I've done it for so long. You know, and even my wife told me, you've got to remember people, that's one of the specialties that a former Navy SEAL brings, that mindset of
no,
always.
100%. I mean, I'll take it back another tech example. So back when I was just a programmer, right? It's so easy to lose track of not only the situation, but even the goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just coding. Like,
that's right.
And we talked in a previous episode that, I mean, I'm suggesting that programmers have so much power because they're making thousands of decisions every minute. And what is the framework for the decisions? And, you know, you lose track of the goal and you lose track of the situation. What's guiding those decisions? Right? I'm coding and I've written 500 lines of code and now I feel like writing 500 more. But why?
Right.
And what's the goal?
Right.
Now I'm just writing code. I'm just doing it. And so, like, I mean, it's very easy to lose track of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. And so then your decisions are off base and maybe now you're not doing what your boss wants or what your team wants. And mm-hmm. so those little micro decisions can ultimately affect your entire company.
Okay. And then let's go back now, right? To the leader's role. Are you a coder or are you a leader of coders? Right? So it's the leader's job to check in. Hold his people accountable. And again, micromanaging versus micro-knowledging. You know, when a leader is checking in on a status and the workers go, man, that guy just micromanages, it makes me boil. It makes my blood boil because those are just lazy people who don't know the difference between micromanage and micro-knowledge. That leader has, it's his responsibility to know the status of what's happening. And if you as a worker get upset with that, that means you're doing something that's not right and you know it.
But it's not even what I find with my teams is it's not even as much checking in on status as it is constantly reiterating the situation and the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joe, we're helping make our client money today, right? We're not building a website. We're not making something unhackable. We're helping the client make money. Like reiterating the situation, reiterating the goal, right. So that people remember
the
because
goal,
it is easy to lose track.
The goal was to write this code to achieve this purpose.
Right, this purpose and this purpose.
Where
alone.
Are you on that code? Well, I guess I could have been done 500 lines ago, but I just kept writing. So it's ready. Well, yeah, but I'd like to make it. No. Can it do what the goal? Yes, it can. Boom.
Right.
Launch
the 500 kinds later.
Ship it.
Right.
Right. That's the leader's responsibility because people get off track. That's what a leader does. He keeps people on track. And just like you said, by keeping the situation and the goal, knowing what the actions are supposed to be, right? Because ultimately in the command and control, the boss is ultimately responsible. You know, that's another thing that we talk about. If that fails, it's not because the kid just decided to keep coding and keep coding and keep coding. It's not his fault. You're in charge. You're the boss. You're responsible. You own that. You own it because you weren't following up, making sure the right things were happening. You do that enough, I promise you, the right things are going to start happening because people don't want the boss over the shoulder. Clear goals, clear actions. I'll check with you then. Just keep
Leadership in Tech podcast series is a part of a larger project called the Technology On-Ramp, a 10-week educational program that prepares candidates to be able to get jobs in the technology sector. You can find out more about us and how we're revolutionizing leadership in tech and the industry in general by going to techonramp.com. At the bottom of the homepage, you can sign up with your email address to receive episode announcements, as well as leadership tips and professional development resources in our email newsletter. To find out about the players involved in the Tech On-Ramp, check out Errol Dobler at www.leader193.com, Zach Ruiz at www.salt.io, or me, Paul Maslany, as well as them at LinkedIn, or you can even find all three of us on the podcast database poddb.me. As always, the Leadership in Tech podcast is on Stitcher.com, PocketCast.com, SoundCloud.com, Player.fm, iTunes, and Google Play Music. Thank you, and see you next week.
Tell me what to do, and I'd gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude. I don't like your attitude.